1. If you'll look there with me today, we're going to read several verses here. Actually, we'll read this entire first chapter, just 11 verses. Ezra chapter 1 and verse number 1. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem, and whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priest and the Levites, and with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beast, and with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus king of Persia bring forth by the hand of Mildred, the treasurer, and numbereth them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. This is the number of them: 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 chargers of silver, 29 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem." Now it was Ezra and Nehemiah primarily that led the return back to Jerusalem from the captivity. But you have to kind of go back just to kind of review and to remember what has brought them to the place that they have been in for the last 70 years. Jeremiah prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 28. He prophesied kind of strangely and in a peculiar way, but it says in Jeremiah 28 that he put a yoke around his neck, and he walked around the city wearing this yoke, and he did that to illustrate to the people that this is what's getting ready to happen to you. The yoke of Babylon is getting ready to be put on your backs, on your necks, and you're gonna be taken into captivity because of your persistent stubbornness and rebellion against God. The prophets, like Jeremiah, had warned over and over and over that this captivity is going to happen. You're going to come under the judgment of Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar if you don't listen to the voice of the Lord. Don't obey the voice of the Lord. There was another prophet by the name of Hananiah. It's also in this same chapter that he came and he said, "Now, no, that's not going to happen. You're going to only suffer under Nebuchadnezzar for a couple of months or a couple of years, and then everything will return to normal." And Jeremiah said to that prophet, "You're prophesying a lie. That's not the truth. That's not going to happen." Even though Hananiah took the yoke off of Jeremiah and busted it up, he said, "It's not the truth." So Jeremiah goes and he gets another yoke, this one made of iron. And he wears that
to confirm the fact that what he had prophesied is going to take place. And it's a pretty vivid illustration to the children of Israel of what is happening to them and all of the struggles that they're going to go through. So they are taken into captivity. About 20,000 of them are taken in three different deportations that left Jerusalem. The city is destroyed. The temple's destroyed. The walls are destroyed. Everything is completely, is just rubble. That's all that's left. And the whole city is in complete destruction. And so 70 years have passed. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Then it was Belshazzar. Then the Persians came in and they completely overtook Babylon and swallowed it up. And now Cyrus is the king of Persia at the end of this 70-year period. Now, I went through all of that little history lesson just to illustrate for you how that God can stir the hearts of men. What God can do is to stir the hearts of men. Now, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord stirred up Cyrus, king of Persia. The Spirit of the Lord, that's in verse number one. It's also repeated in the last couple of verses of the previous book in 2 Chronicles, where it describes the fact that God stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so much so that he proclaimed, made this proclamation, that I'm gonna help you rebuild the temple. I'm gonna help you completely turn things around and allow you to go back to Jerusalem. I think it's a pretty amazing thing that even though the house of the Lord was destroyed and the walls were destroyed, 2 Chronicles 36 and 19, it says they burned the house of God. They break down the walls of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels therein. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. That's what happened to them. Nothing but destruction, nothing but judgment fell upon them. After 70 years of living in Babylon, after 70 years, God raised up a heathen, pagan king. His name was Cyrus, and the Bible says that God, the Spirit of the Lord, moved upon Cyrus to allow them to go back to Jerusalem and even finance the rebuilding of the temple and told them, everyone, and even you can even take all of the things that were stolen away by Nebuchadnezzar, you can return it all. You can take it all back with you. Now, how did such an amazing thing happen in Babylon? Well, let me tell you, God stirred the heart of Cyrus. Amen. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what the situation is. I mean, the Spirit of God can go behind walls. The Spirit of God can go into king's palaces. The Spirit of God can invade the heart of a pagan king and stir his heart and cause him to do a righteous thing. Praise God. I don't know about you, but that just encourages me to know that I'm limited. I can't convince people of their need to be saved. I can't convince people who are living in sin and away from God. There's no way that, I mean, I can do everything in my power. But let me tell you, when God begins to move, when the Spirit of God begins to move, he can invade the darkest of places. Let me tell you, Cyrus was a pagan king who worshiped, who followed the teaching of Zoroastrianism, and the Persians, they didn't serve the true and the living God, but the true and the living God was able to invade that kingdom and invade that palace and touch the heart of a man by the name of Cyrus and cause him to do what was right and to do a righteous thing and to allow the children of Israel to go back to their homeland and even finance the rebuilding of the temple and the restoring of the city of Jerusalem. That was a move of God. That was a stirring of the move of God. Let me tell you, God can stir the hearts of men. Amen. Here's what's really an amazing thing is that Isaiah had prophesied about this 150 years before Cyrus was even born. Isaiah prophesied and said that I'm going to raise up this guy, even called him by name. This is Isaiah 44 and verse 28. Thus saith, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. This was 150 years before Cyrus was even born, and he certainly wasn't the king of Persia or even nowhere near Babylon. But 150 years before, Isaiah prophesied. Also in Isaiah 45 in verse 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. He called Cyrus, this pagan king, the anointed one. To Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. This was 150 years before Cyrus was born, and the prophet Isaiah spoke of what was going to happen. Do you understand with me the significance of what the stirring of the Spirit of God can accomplish? Amen. Amen. He knows the names of those that he can stir. He knows their names. They don't even realize that they need God, but God knows them by name. Amen. And he can deal with their hearts and speak to their hearts and stir their hearts. And so the Spirit of God stirred the heart of this king of Persia to allow the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and to fulfill what God was commanding to be done. Let me tell you, God can do some amazing things. He can accomplish a lot by stirring the hearts of men. Amen. By stirring the hearts of men. And that's what we're asking the Lord to do. That's what we're praying that God will do for your loved ones, for your friends, for your family members, for those that are within our reach in our community. We're praying, Lord, stir up the hearts of people. Stir their hearts. They're not thinking about God. Many are living like pagans, without God, living their own lives after the world and after the things of the flesh. They're not thinking about God, but God can invade their life. God can invade their heart. God can stir their heart. Even though they have no interest in the things of God or no interest in obeying the voice of the Lord, God by his Spirit can get to where they are. Amen. Just like he stirred up King Cyrus, he can stir the hearts of your friends and loved ones and those unsaved people that you're concerned about that are so far away from God. They don't even give God the time of day. They're not interested in the things of God, the Word of God. They're not interested in serving him or being in church. But they may not be here this morning. They might be out on the lake. They may be in some other place somewhere. I don't know. But I do know this, the Spirit of God can go where they are and can invade their heart and can stir their heart and help them to see that they need to obey the voice of the Lord. Amen. He knew Cyrus by name 150 years before he was born, and he knows your name. He knows the names of people that are out there in sin, out there in the world. Jeremiah said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee, I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. There's people that are within our reach, people that God has put on your heart, and you're praying for them, and you sometimes think, Lord, is there any hope for them? Their heart is so far removed from the things of God. They're not interested in hearing about God or about the things of God. They're pursuing their own desires after the world, after the flesh, going their own way. Oh, but never be discouraged in your pursuit, in your prayers, in your confidence that God can break through all of those things and can deal with their hearts and can stir the hearts of men wherever they are, whatever they're doing, whatever their life is wrapped up in. God can break through all of that and can stir their hearts and cause them to obey the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. Just as he did for King Cyrus. Praise God. God knows how to get a hold of the hearts of people. Amen. Thank the Lord for the day that he saved you and he dealt with your heart and stirred your heart toward the things of God and toward the gospel. And I assure you that God is at work today. Don't be discouraged. Don't be weary with well-doing. I know you've prayed for your friends and loved ones a long time. Please don't get discouraged. God is working. God is moving. He's speaking. And he's invading the hearts of them, even in their darkness, even in their worldly pursuits. God is able to break through and stir the hearts of those that are lost. Amen. But not only that, God can stir the church. God can stir the people of God. Because the Bible says here in our text, in verse 5, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, with all of them whose spirit God had raised to go and to build the temple. Praise God. Amen. So not only is God dealing with the hearts of the unsaved, not only is he stirring up people that you're praying for and that you're witnessing to and you're believing God to touch them, not only is he invading their hearts, but God is the God who stirs up the church as well. He stirs up the people of God and causes us to see how desperately that we need the presence of God, the Spirit of God. I believe that he stirs us to accomplish what we could never, ever accomplish in our own power, only but by the Spirit of God, only by an anointing of the Spirit of God can the breakthrough come. His Spirit isn't hindered by anything. It's not hindered by any circumstances or anything that you have allowed to become important in your life. God can stir the hearts of the people of God. Amen. And deal with them. Out of all those people that were carried away to Babylon, something around close to 20,000 of them that were there. But folks, it's been 70 years. There's been a lot of growth. A lot of babies have been born. A lot of generations have been born in that 70 years. There's a lot of people in Babylon that all that they know about Jerusalem, all they know about the temple is just what they've heard. Just something that's been stories that's been told to them. They don't know the reality of it. Some of them have settled in and gotten comfortable in Babylon. They've built their own homes. They've built their own families. They've got accustomed to Babylon, and they're living in Babylon and probably don't want to have to stir up their life or change their life. And but if you're not careful, we'll get comfortable in the world, in our present situation, and it's God by his Spirit that comes in and moves in a church service or moves in your circumstance, moves in your life and stirs you up to cause you to recognize, oh, I need to do something for God. I need to step up and do something for God. God can stir the hearts of people just as he did those that were there. Now there are not 20,000s, but multiplied thousands of people many of those that were in Babylon never returned back to Jerusalem. It's estimated close to 50,000 did return over three different returns back to Jerusalem. Under Zerubbabel, one return. Under Ezra, another turn. Under Nehemiah, another return. And something like close to 50,000 of them, but multiplied thousands of them, never returned. They stayed in Babylon. They got comfortable in Babylon. But there was about 50,000 of them when they saw what God was doing, how he had stirred the heart of a pagan king, and how that he was making provision for them to go back and the freedom to go back. It stirred their heart as well. And so not only can God deal with the unsaved and those out there in the world, but he can stir up the church. Amen. He can stir up the people of God and help us to see that we need to do what God has called us to do in these last days. He's stirring us up to pray, stirring us up to fast, stirring us up to work for God, stirring up to build his kingdom, stirring our hearts to do more than we've done before. If you're not careful, you'll just get comfortable in the ways of the world. And we really don't want the Spirit of God to invade our life because it's going to upset things. We got comfortable with the way things are. But I want you to know that God will come by the power of his Spirit and interrupt your life and stir up your life and deal with your heart and cause you to see that God is a God that wants to stir his people up in these last days to do something that's going to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but the events of the last couple of weeks stirred my heart, stirred me up, challenged my heart to see that there is a commitment level that I need to aspire to. Amen. There's a level that I need to reach for. Amen. There's no longer this half-hearted, half-committed, halfway, but God is calling us to step up to a whole new level. He's wanting to stir our hearts to do something for him that maybe we've never done before, but to believe God to anoint us to accomplish some things in the kingdom of God. Amen. Jeremiah 48 and 11, this verse, it says, Moab has been at ease from his youth. He hath settled on his lees and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. This is pretty descriptive, really, where it's describing being settled on its lees. It's talking about that when wine was made in big vessels, that if it sat for a long time, that the lees would all settle to the bottom, which meant that the wine would become weak and not nearly as good. But instead, if you wanted it to be good, it would be emptied from vessel to vessel, shaken up, stir it up, emptied from vessel to vessel. And it says, Moab, all from your youth, you've been at ease. You've been at ease. And you have settled on your lees. And you've not been emptied from vessel to vessel. And because of that, you're weak. Because of that, you're not really valuable anymore. You need to let God stir your heart. You need to let God deal with your heart. Allow the Lord by his Spirit to stir you and to convict you and to move you to what he is wanting to do in your life. Amen. And believe that God can do just that. Amen. Now, I guess the question is, how long has it been since you've sensed the stirring of the presence of God and the Spirit of God? How long has it been? Have you just got comfortable with just the routine of going to church and coming to church and serving the Lord just in a routine? Or have you allowed the Lord by his Spirit to get a hold of your heart, to turn you upside down, to stir you, to do something in your life and bring you to the place And you recognize, Lord, I want to be valuable. I want to have something to offer to the kingdom of God. But I know that I cannot unless I allow you to stir my life, stir my heart. And that's what God wants to do for us here today. Hallelujah. When God stirs the hearts of men, let me tell you, nations can be changed. Lives can be changed. People can be changed. People can be truly born again and set free from sin and the power of darkness. They can be set free by the power of the Spirit of God when God begins to stir the hearts of people. Amen. Thank God that we can believe that God can move right into a service like this one this morning. And he can talk to us. He can speak to us. Do you know he knows your name? He knew where you would be even before you were born. He knew about this day and this service. He knows everything about you. Would you allow God by his Spirit to deal with you and to stir you to accomplish whatever it is that he wants to accomplish in your life? Hallelujah. Do you sense that stirring? Do you sense it? Well, I have in the last days. I felt the stirring in my soul, and I want to see God do some wonderful and mighty things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand together, everybody, across this sanctuary today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the way that you've talked to me and dealt with me. I thank you, Lord, for the stirring of the Spirit of God in my own heart. And I just pray, Lord, that today that men and women, that young folks would be stirred by the power of your Spirit. Lord, I know that you can deal with men and women and you can bring them to that place, Lord, of obedience to your voice. And we're asking you to do that today in Jesus' name. Oh God, stir our hearts, I pray. Stir our hearts today, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.